He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. You. Yeah, he means you specifically. Not you in general, not you as some anonymous member of humanity, but you specifically were in the blessed mind of Jesus Christ himself every single step of the Passion. As he sat with his closest friends, his most fervent disciples, at that Last Supper, as he broke that bread, he thought of you specifically. Because though he was truly man, he was truly God. He was able to have one foot in time and one foot in eternity and be able to think of you throughout the whole Passion. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. And how did he show that love? Well, he showed it through sublimely humble service. That he would get down on his knees and wash his disciples' feet. We may feel robbed this year that we don't have that part of the liturgy. It's always optional, but this year we've been instructed to not take that option. But we might think something's missing, and you know what? Something is missing. But not just our ceremonial imitation of the Lord. What's missing is our actual imitation of the Lord in our lives. When's the last time that I had such a sublime humility to be able to get down and meet someone at their lowest point? When did I have the humility in my life to say those words, "I'm sorry, I was wrong"? To meet someone on the sacred ground of their suffering and to just journey with them in it. Friends, if we feel robbed to not have the ceremony, we can pray to God at this Mass to live the reality of washing each other's feet in so many different ways that we have, to be the more humble party, to focus on the needs of the other. That's what the Lord calls us to do. But of course, when he did that to his disciples, one of them was shocked. I'm sure they all were, but we only get the words from one of them, where Peter, he knew that he was not worthy. He said, "You wash my feet?" And yet, even though he was not worthy, he was in desperate need of it. He needed the Lord's condescension in that moment. He needed to be washed clean. He needed that expression of divine love. Now, of course, when Jesus was washing those feet, Peter's and all the rest, he knew. He knew as he washed the feet, as they were inches from his face, that those very feet would flee in fear from their friend and Savior that very night. Within hours, those feet that he held in his hands would run away from him and leave him alone, and yet he washed. And yet he loved. Peter was right when he said he's not worthy. But neither am I. Neither am I worthy. How many times have I done the exact same thing as those disciples? Received the Lord's love. All of his gratuitous gifts that he gives and he gives and he gives. And no sooner do I receive them than I run from him. Because Christianity is hard. Right? The world and the church are not one and the same. They're at odds. The world tries to pull us away from God. Tries to say, "Oh no, if you're a Christian, whew, I don't know, you're one of those hateful, awful people." And very often we hear that and just go like, "Oh, well, I'm not that Christian. I'm not that religious. You know, I'm just kind of, maybe I go to church every now and again." Because we're scared. We're scared like those disciples were. And yet, our Lord still washes our feet. He still pours out his love. He still has the same tenderness as he had for those original 12, for every one of us here tonight. He loved his own. Except he loves us in an even deeper way, right? Because he not only gives us the washing of our feet, he not only gives us the cleansing power of confession, he gives us his very own self to be our nourishment, to be our very source of life. He says, I don't want to just give you gifts, I want to give you me. I want to give you the giver of gifts. And so he does. He comes to me in spite of my unworthiness and because of my desperate need. It's the most marvelous fulfillment of what the Passover lamb that we read about in Exodus prefigured. Right? Rather than a dead animal, we receive the very Lord of life, and it gives us life. But the Passover lamb, right, if we go all the way back to Egypt, when the Lord was freeing his people, the Passover lamb and then the Lamb of God that we receive at this altar serve the same purpose. And that's freedom and belonging. That we may be freed from what enslaves us and belong to the one who loves us. And we could ask ourselves, do I accept that freedom or do I run from it? Right? Am I truly free from this world or am I just desperately trying to fit in? Am I willing to stand out as someone different or do I just want to blend into the crowd as best as possible, not cause any trouble, not ever be called out for being different? It's that exact courage that the Lord wants to give us. It's that courage that the disciples lacked, but that by the grace of God, even though we may have lacked it all of our life up to this moment, we can ask to have it now. The Passover lamb, right in that first glorious Exodus, the homes were marked with the blood of the lamb. Right on the doorpost, right where everybody can see that this person belongs to the Lord, the God of Israel. I've received that blood. Every single time that you receive even the tiniest crumb of a host, you receive the entire body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. We've received it, but have we been marked by it? When people see me, can they say, that is one marked by the blood of the Lamb? That is one that's different. That's one that has the courage to stand out. That's one that's been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Those are the questions we're invited to ask ourselves tonight in this holiest of liturgies that spans all the way from tonight through into Sunday. It's one great big liturgy where we enter into the mystery of a God who suffered for us out of love for us and wants desperately for us to unleash within ourselves our capacity to love him back. So how do we get that capacity? How do we unleash it? How do I get the strength and the courage to be marked by the blood of the Lamb, to be unabashedly a Catholic Christian redeemed by Jesus Christ? Well, by receiving him. And we read, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Every time that I receive the most sacred body and blood of Jesus Christ, I proclaim his death until he comes. But I can be proclaiming two different things by that same one action of receiving him. If I receive him, having first repented, having said, Lord, I want new life. I want to cut ties with all that separates me from you. I want communion with you, and I'm willing to work toward that, sacrifice for it. Then I proclaim the victory that is Christ's death. But if, on the other hand, I receive that host, but I still cling to sin, if I by my actions say I want communion with God in that moment, but by my actions out there and the intention of my heart, I say, but I want sin a little bit more, then I mock that death. I say that death isn't worth my sacrifice. That death isn't worth me trying to change my habits. No, that death, it happened, but it's not going to move me to change. And so we all have the opportunity tonight to reflect on how we receive. Is my reception of Holy Communion a life-changing event every time? Do I say to the Lord by that action, Lord, I want you above all else, and I'm willing to sacrifice, I'm willing to work. Yes, I'm scared, but more than I'm scared, I'm committed. Or is it just a rote thing that I do without thinking? The Lord wants us to not only receive him, but be marked by him. He wants us to live every moment of our days imitating that humble service that he had to his disciples. He wants us to be able to reflect on the ways that for fear of the world we fled from him. And he wants us to come back. And when we receive him tonight, or when we realize, you know what, I actually shouldn't be receiving until I go to communion or until I rectify some issues in my life, then we come to him with deep longing in our hearts, and we say, Lord, I will move heaven and earth to be able to receive you again. I want you more than I want anything else, because I recognize that as much as I want you, you want me infinitely more. And that gives me strength to move forward. That gives me strength to be different than the world. That gives me strength to be truly redeemed by you and marked by the blood of the Lamb.